Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, doing the radio show every day, and for many, many years, I don't know exactly how long it's been, the challenge is that most of the people that are listening to us on the radio are beginners. They don't know very much. They don't understand very much. And if you go into too much detail, if you get too technical with people on the radio, then they'll just turn the radio off. And the problem with that is that you haven't helped them. They've bypassed your message and moved on to something else. And it's a failure. It's a failure on my part to be able to help somebody. So I always try to keep stuff as simple as possible in general. That's the way we work it. Every once in a while, we come across more complicated issues, and I'll throw some material in on the complicated issues because I want to help that person answer that question, or because maybe for every one person that asks it, there's 20 or 30 people out there, or maybe there's 100 people that have that same question. Maybe there's 1,000. I don't know. But today what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into more complicated scenarios. I have to paraphrase this with, guys, these are people that have made successful moves already, and they have more money than you do. What this doesn't mean is you have to have the money they have to be able to do what we help you do. You start where you're at, and you compound your success. So let's think about this. If you got $10,000, we want to make you $20,000. If you got $20,000, we want to make that $40,000. If it's $40,000, we want to make it $80,000. If it's $80,000, we want to make it $160,000. If it's $160,000, we want to make it $320,000. And that we need to make $640,000, and then $2.4 million, and then $4.8 million, and you get the point. The bottom line is that we're constantly trying to double our money. Now, how long it takes to double the money is relative to a couple things, which we're going to talk about today. One of them is time. One of them is effort. And one of them is, and most importantly, is leverage. And that's where this thing really hits. Because I can take a dollar and make it $2 easily. I can take $100 and make it $1,000 easily. You can take small amounts of money and find minuscule opportunities that are out there and double, triple, or quadruple your money. But when you start trying to move around millions of dollars and make $1 million double, that's a whole different animal, my friends. Why is that? Because when you get up to the larger amounts of money you're trying to move, you're competing against people that are already very intelligent by nature, experienced by their very success. In other words, you can tell that they're successful by what they've done, and that experience is giving them an advantage over you in many situations. So when you go compete against them, in other words, I could go find some mom and pop loser that owns a piece of real estate. They have no idea how to handle what to do with it. They inherited it. They've owned it for 30 years. They paid it off. They let it run down. I can go buy that from that person who has no idea what to do with it and very easily turn that around and double, triple, or quadruple my money on the deal. But I can't go do that against a $40 or $50 million or $100 million deal because the people owning $40, $50, $100 million deals are as smart as I am or maybe even smarter. And so I have to be able to look at the opportunity and see what can be done. And how can I use the situation to my benefit? But I'm not going to be able to just go in there and manhandle the people at that level. So you have to be even smarter. You have to be on your game. When you're buying small stuff, if you mess it up, hey, real estate's very forgiving for people to buy something. That people that don't even know what they're doing. I see the stories all the time. They go out there without even knowing what they're doing, and they take hacks at it, and they make some money. In fact, I've got that may be in one of these stories I have for you today. But the reality is, the further you go up the food chain, the more effectively you need to act to become successful or to maintain your success or at least maintain your level of success, right? Because you're up there fighting with the big dogs now. If you're a beginner, do not be afraid. Listen to the show more often. This is just one show out of many, many, many where I'm going to go high end. So don't think you have to have a lot of money to be able to do what we do here. This is somebody who has done it, made money, and are asking high-end questions. I'm just going to share them for everybody that's in that situation. First one says, I am a preferred member now. Just a bit about me. My name is blank. I'm not going to give out his name because I didn't ask him if I could use this. I live outside of St. Louis. I have flipped houses for about 10-plus years. I'm older now and don't want to work as hard anymore. Just work smarter. Now that I see how much I was doing insufficiently, and I think he meant to say ineffectively, in real estate, I decided to become a preferred member so I can learn how to invest smarter. I can see that I have a lot to learn. My interest is to be an independent real estate owner in multifamily. We call it IRO. I like the fact that hard money will make the job easier to finance the job so I can hire the job out and not do that much myself. I do like to do some work. All right, so we've right there, we got to unpack that first part, right? There's a lot of good things here, and there's a few questionable things. The first part is that guys flipped houses for 10 years. For those of you who don't know what that means, flipping a house means I buy it, I renovate it, then I sell it. It's no different than buying used cars, putting them in the shop, fixing them up, making them nice, putting them out on the lot, and selling them. It is a full-time job. It's not what I would consider real estate investing. You're not investing, you're outvesting. You're buying used product, fixing it up, and selling it, right? Because you want cash. That is a job. It is a taxable income situation. It does not do what we do. It does not build wealth. It does not accumulate wealth. It does not earn you tax-free income. It's just something to do. It's a way to make a living. So you could do it flipping houses or you could do it flipping cars. It's the same kind of a situation, right? So that's what he's done for 10 years. Now that he sees he has been working ineffectively, and he said inefficiently, but unsuccessfully. I don't think he was unsuccessful. I think he was just inefficient. In real estate, I decided to become a preferred member so I can learn how to invest smarter. Now, Lisa's guy, and this is a very big point, and even after he's done something for 10 years, he's smart enough to go in and watch what whoever was speaking to him, one of our seminar guys gave the seminar, I might have even given it to him, and learned that, hey, there's a better way to do this, man, and that you're leaving a lot on the table. And we'll discuss what he's leaving on the table a little bit further. But I think that's smart that someone can actually be willing to do that. I'm still learning. I think that life is, I'm a lifelong student. You show me something I don't know, I'm excited to learn it. I'm interested in learning it. Now, a lot of times when you're as far along as I am, somebody will show you something you learned 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or even 40 years ago and go, I already know that one, sorry. And it seems arrogant that you would say that because you already have learned that lesson in life, right? But there are stuff, there is things that I learn all the time that I love when they're brought to my attention, right? So he goes on and says, I'd like the fact you use hard money that will make the job easier to finance the job so I can hire the work out. So what he's talking about on the single family houses he's been buying, renovating, and flipping, he could have used hard money lending instead of paying cash himself and doing all the work himself, which is really a lot of work. He's saying, if I use the hard money lenders, I can buy the properties for next to nothing out of pocket, and then I can go ahead and get contractors to do the work instead of myself. And then he throws in there, but I like doing it. I mean, I got over that about the first year or two of single-family housing, and then back when I got apartments, I bought my first nice apartments. I started wanting to go in and tinker with those. I've got a garage full of tools. I just build stuff now. I don't bother. I stay home. I build the stuff here. And if it doesn't get done, I walk out and go do what I want to do and don't worry about it. Whereas if you got an investment property, you're doing all the work yourself. You walk out and leave it. It's costing you money. It's sitting there. There's money being spent on interest, taxes, insurance, maintenance, and repair. And you haven't sold it yet. No money's being brought in. So wholesaling and flipping, or flipping deals, this is flipping, is a hard way to make a living. It's a lot of work, right? Now, he wants to do this in multifamily, and what he's going to learn, and I don't know if it's a verbiage, lack of verbiage here yet or not, but you're not going to use a hard money loan to do this with multifamily. We're going to use something called bridge loans. A bridge loan is where we buy the property and get the rehab financed through the bank as a project. It's really similar to hard money lending, but hard money lending is really just a matter of anybody that's got any kind of money and credit can get this stuff and do it if you understand how to do it. But on the apartment deals, you're going to have to understand the apartment business to be able to get these kinds of loans. They don't just lend you the money. You have to know what you're doing, because it's a more complicated thing to go buy something that's all messed up and fix it up than it is to just buy a property that's already in great condition. And you can't buy an apartment complex and get a loan on it if it's not occupied. And I say occupied at least 80, 90%, somewhere in that range. Your debt coverage ratio has to be met. So he'll find that out as he starts working with us. He's signed up now, and we'll start teaching him that kind of stuff. But it's a different name. I just want you to understand that. There's one step right there. He's going to learn that it's a different kind of loan than what he saw. He probably focused on the single family because that's what he's been doing. He goes, I'm far from jumping into a deal right now, as I want to know what I'm doing first. I drove down to your last seminar you presented a few months ago. After the seminar on Saturday, some of the students went to the bar next door to your office. You sat next to me at the table. We had some small talk. Then you asked me what my story was. But before I was able to tell you anything, people were asking you questions up until the time that you went home. I didn't have any time to say anything. It's time to tell you about me and see what input you would have. So there's an interesting point right there. It has nothing to do with real estate. It has to do with success in life. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. And I was always a quiet, that's not really who I am. I'm not quiet. I'm not really a really good networker. At least I wasn't when I was younger. A little shy, just didn't feel right to go up to people you didn't know and start chatting with them, right? I've overcome that now. I mean, that's the one thing I've learned. Being around successful people, they have no problem talking to anybody. And you got to get in there and you got to get involved in the conversation and maybe even have to, press the conversation. So that's an interesting point, but it's an important one if you want to get successful. I'm going to take a short break, be right back, and we'll get deeper into what this guy has to say.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with a roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 for 2 years. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're in the mailbag, but I've warned everybody in the last two segments that this is high-end stuff today. We're talking about people that have made a lot of money, and they're making later life decisions on how to make even more money. And if you're brand new and you're just tuning in, don't let that scare you away, because 90% of what I do is help people from the bottom up to where these people are at. But there are those people that do get there that become very, very wealthy. So this gentleman said, I want to tell my story. He says, I'm single and I live with my significant other for over 15 years. Her name is blank. I don't give out people's names. My kids are on their own, I guess grown. I don't have any bills. I do have property, commercial and single family. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to pay off the property. There we go. One of the biggest mistakes people make in real estate is they eliminate the leverage completely. Real estate is the most powerful investment in the world because of the leverage that's available to it. He, like many, many, many others, made real estate effective by doing a lot of real estate, by working at real estate, instead of by letting the leverage make him wealthy. And so now he's learned that. That's why he's learning some new techniques. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to pay off the property. Just not thinking right. I see it now. You got it. That's good. See, somebody comes to these classes, they learn, they see it, now they understand they could have done 10 times what they did before. I have approximately $1.3 million in debt equity. Debt equity, think about that. If we can take that debt equity and double it just one time, he's now got $2.6 million. That's amazing. And you can do that. But he has to get that debt equity to work. I got about 100K in cash. So there you go. He's got 100 grand to work with, but he's got 1.3 million not working for him. That's where people make the mistake. You go, well, I went from being broke. My parents were broke. I was broke. Now I have $1.3 million with equity. I'm successful. I should quit. I should shut it down. No, you should leverage it to where that 1.3 is 10.3. million. You need to have 10 times more. It's just another zero. That's all it is. One more zero, right? Goes on and says, I'm rehabbing a three-story building right now with two four apartments with a retail space on the bottom floor. So here we go. He's working. Sounds to you like he's doing real estate? No, he's working. He's bought a property and he's renovating it. That's work. That's construction. Are you with me? That is not real estate investing per se. It's construction. Now, if he bought the property and he had crews renovating it, and that was all a part of his process, and then he had an end goal with this property, then it would be real estate investing. Now, he hasn't told us yet if he's got an end goal for this. After that is finished, I believe I'll add about $750,000 or better to my equity. So now from 1.3, he's got $2 million. The building is paid off, although I will take a loan out to finish it. So there we go again. He's got all this money tied up, this cash in this debt equity in this property. He shouldn't have done that. That's why he was saying he liked the hard money lending. Well, in the apartment business, it would actually be a rehab loan called a bridge loan. And so obviously he's learned that. That's why he's so excited. He sees that he could do 10 times as much if he just didn't pay all cash for these properties. I was paying all cash to fix it up. My packaging company, my goal in investing is to make $1 million a year, a perpetual thing. All right, the guy's made $1 million. Now the goal, and I went through this, you make your first million, you go, wow, now I'm successful. Then you go, but I'd like to make $1 million a year. I did a deal. I made $1 million. Now I know it can be done. Why don't I do one every year and make $1 million a year? Right? Let's see what he says. I don't need it, just a goal. Oh, he doesn't need the $1 million a year. It's just a goal. Well, there's nothing you need in life besides bare existence, money, food, water, shelter. You don't need anything. Goals in life are what make life real, make life worth living. If you don't have any goals, then you're dead. You're either growing, blooming, or dying is what I was taught when I was young. What are you? Says, by the way, I'm a type B and my girlfriend is a type A. She has as much debt equity as I do. if not more. She's interested in investing, but only if I do well. How realistic is my goal? What do you think I have to do to achieve this goal? Thank you very much. This goal, from where you're at right now, having $2 million, is this goal realistic? Absolutely. And when he gets there, if he does it, if he follows what we teach him, I'm assuming he will, and he does this, and we'll bring him on, we'll interview him, I'm not using his name until he does it, but when we interview him and he succeeded, then I'm going to ask him, why not $1 million a month? If you can do $1 million a year, why not $1 million a month? No difference, just add a zero. All right, moving on to the next email. It says, hi, I've listened to the podcast frequently, and I love hearing the different ways folks are getting to the lifestyle. I'm a preferred member, and I'm currently invested in 3 passive deals now and 4 single-family projects, 1 complete and 3 in rehab. Now to my real question. I'm curious if there's anyone with experience on exiting a sizable 401k, $1.8 million, gracefully. And like I said, guys, don't be afraid that we're talking to people that actually are successful people. Learn from us who are successful by coming in here and learning what we've done to get to where we're at. Don't be afraid, well, I guess you got to have that kind of money to join. No, this is upper end type question. So he goes on and says, how can you get the money out of the 401 gracefully? I have having conversations with my CPA, but love to learn someone else's way to leverage the IRO purchase and offset large withdrawals and limit tax exposure as much as possible. I'm currently a high income W-2 earner and turn 55 later this year. I'm considering leveraging the 401k rule of 55 to gain access. All right. So yeah, the bottom line is, once you get to be 55, there are ways you can pull the money out of your 401k, but there are other ways to pull the money out of your 401k also. And I've had called this guy. We had a long discussion on all kinds of things that are possible. But realistically, you have to understand this. You're putting money in your 401k and you're hoping it grows. The more it grows, the more taxes you owe on it. So to get the money out, first of all, you want to get away from the penalty. Well, at 59 and a half, the penalty goes away. But if you don't, there are ways attorneys have that many of you can go in and get the money out without paying the penalty. There's many, many different ways, and I'm not a CPA nor an attorney, and I'm not going to go over them in the radio. I'm going to give you a couple of quick pieces of advice that I don't even need to be a CPA to share with you, but understand they're very complicated. Number one, you pull the money out only in the amount you need to do whatever transaction you need. You don't want to pull the money out and owe taxes on it. If at all possible, you pull the money out in the beginning of the year, so that what happens is you can go buy real estate that will depreciate. You can use the depreciation against that withdrawal. To make that happen, a couple things have to happen. Number one, you have to buy real estate very leveraged. I know most people out there are scared to death of leverage, but real estate investors that know what they're doing, leverage is the king. It's the reality of what we do. So highly leveraged real estate will allow you to have a lot of depreciation to offset whatever income the real estate deal did, in addition to have leftover to go towards the money you're pulling out of your 401k. However, for that to be effective, you have to be a real estate professional, which means you have to work at least 750 hours a year in the world of real estate, which means you're either a real estate agent, a real estate broker, appraiser, or a real estate owner-operator, which is what I am. I'm an operator of real estate. And then you can become a real estate professional. However, 50% of your income has to come from real estate. Well, in my case, 100% of my income comes from real estate. Everything I do is real estate, this, real estate, that, whatever. But I do have 750 hours a year that I can jot down and show that, you know, I'm doing this and I'm looking at that and I'm looking at properties and I'm inspecting properties and I'm making offers on properties and I'm talking to brokers and so on and so forth. You just have to be able to do it. But if you can't qualify, if your CPA can't qualify as a real estate professional, then all that excess depreciation is not going to be usable against earned income. In fact, the most you can use is $25,000 a year of that, and that $25,000 goes away if you make over $150,000 a year. So there's a lot of tricks to it. You really have to look at your situation carefully. If you're a member, I'd be willing to sit down with you and cover it in detail. And then, of course, we'd work with your CPA because this is a CPA-based situation here. All right, the next email we're going to go into is a guy who sent me a really super long email. I really don't even want to read the whole thing to you because there's something else I'm going to cover. But he got into a syndication 100-unit multifamily building, triple net lease on the bottom, commercial building on the lower part of it, with two sources of income. So it has apartments upstairs, and it has commercial real estate, which is, you know, like stores and stuff downstairs. He bought into this way back in 2020, I think it was. And they had all kinds of overages because of COVID. They didn't get it completed. They had all kinds of problems. And now in 2024, they've not made any money on it yet. However, now it is completed, it is occupied, and it's looking like a good deal. But he's been sitting here since 2020, I think it was. There's a lot of people that bought in, and big projects like this got knocked around. And now they're sitting here at 24, and they're going, I've never made any money on this deal. And in this particular case, they're not going to refinance the money back out to give him his profits until 2026. They offered him an opportunity to get out of the deal, to buy him out, even at what he put in. So in other words, all this time he hasn't made any profit, but there's profit built up in the deal eventually, right? He said within 10 years, this is going to be a great deal. But right now I'm earning nothing. And they offered me an opportunity to get out even. So he put $100,000 in. They paid him $20,000 so far in distributions. They said, we'll give you $80,000 more and you can go away. And you're basically even. And I told him, I said, go ahead and do that, because the way these guys are operating, you can tell that they could make more mistakes. And if that's the case, you know, you need to get out. There's one thing in this life called deal fatigue, right? Deal fatigue is where you got into a deal and stuff just didn't go right for whatever reason. The operator's not that good, or you have a black swan event like COVID, or the interest rates change against you. Whatever it is, this black swan event or poor operations or a combination of the two sometime, you're just tired of that deal. You went out. Anytime they'll let you get out of the deal, man, I'd go. I would, because you want your mindset back. You want you got into the deal thinking you're going to make money and get rich. Now you're in the deal thinking, well, am I going to lose all my money? Is a completely reversal position to take. And I see people, it happened to them, and there's nothing you can tell them. You got into a bad deal. You picked the wrong investor or the wrong kind of deal or the wrong time to get into that deal. And there's really no way to fix that other than to get out of that deal. And there are deals that we have that got done during those same periods of time that we had to work hard to get our people back out of them any way, shape we could. That happens in this particular case. So in this case, I told the guy, go ahead and get out of it. Now, I have one more email that came to me. It's a very lengthy email. I'm not going to read it because it is way too lengthy to get into. But what it basically says is that since I've become successful, and by the way, the success level of this person that is sending me the email is not that high, which is kind of problematic. But the person said that, look, since I've got more money than my friends and relatives, everybody wants stuff from me. And I feel like they just come up and talk to me and waste my time, like they're trying to get to something, be my friend just so they can get something from me. And does this happen to you? And I wrote back, I said, look, it happens to anybody that has anything. In this world, when somebody has stuff other people don't have, they want your stuff. And all you can do is say, I'm sorry, no. Teach a man to fish, don't give a man a fish. So I'm not breaking any rules by not giving you what I own. I'll be happy to tell you how to go get it. I'll tell you happy to get a job. I'll tell you how to save. I'll tell you how to do all the good things in life you should do. But I'm not going to give up my hard-earned earnings to you because you won't do the stuff that I did to get them, right? You tell them no, and then you do this. Be thankful in life you have something somebody else wants. Have a great day, and remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.